Colossians chapter 1, our portion, verses 9 through 12, these are the words of God. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. As he starts out in verse 9, he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And he's talking about since the day we heard of the Colossians' faith and love and hope that he was just talking about in the previous passage, giving thanks for. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, etc., since we heard of your faith. Now, in verse 9, he says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." So when you hear about a work that God is doing, first, you give thanks for that work, but second of all, you pray for that work to continue, for that work to be completed. Now, the work that begins with faith is carried out or conducted by means of knowledge, by means of theology. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so, he heard that their faith had begun, and he heard of their hope and love, which showed that their faith was real. Now he's praying that their faith will continue by means of theology, that they would be actually prepared and actually brought into the inheritance into which they had been adopted. So he talked to them in verse 5 about the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. And so they are going to inherit with all the saints, and that's where we actually end in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we are not qualified in and of ourselves, but God qualifies us. The Father has qualified them. He has given them Jesus. He's given them Jesus' righteousness so that every time Jesus obeys, or obeyed, it's counted as if we had obeyed. And He has given Jesus' adoption, Jesus' sonship. We are adopted children in the Lord Jesus. So we become inheritors with Him. So He's the one who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, Paul prays that they would come into that inheritance. But in order to see the Lord, you must be holy. This is what the whole Bible teaches. And Hebrews 12, most famously, the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Or to put it positively, like 1 John 3, that we do not, what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that we will be like Him when He appears, for we shall see Him as He is. And those who hope thus purify themselves, even as He is pure. So, what is He praying? Why is He praying that they would have knowledge, that they would be filled with knowledge? It is so that they would be made holy. Now, let us not think that obedience is easy. And you might think, oh, well, I'm joined to Jesus by faith. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, or indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Obeying is going to be easy. Well, if you're a Christian who has tried for any length of time, you've discovered that obedience is not easy. It's not very surprising. Because what does he say in verse 11 that he is hoping will happen by means of their increased theology? That they would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Okay, so the Christian life is something that is impossible for anyone but God. In order for them to become partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, they have to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. If what we are trying to do is something that we are able to do, then we're probably Pharisees, not Christians. Because the Christian life is something that can only be done by God's almighty power. And so, yes, those who hope thus, we just quoted from 1 John 3, purify themselves even as he is pure. But who can do that? Only God. That's why in the previous epistle, this apostle said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work, according to his good pleasure. And that's what he's praying here. He's praying that God would work out their salvation. Is it something they're commanded to do? Yes. Is it something they have to participate in? Yes. But it's something that only God can do by his almighty power. And so it must be done in dependence upon him. Now, if you're depending upon his strength, then you need to do it his way. And his way is by using theology. I don't want to be a theologian. I just want to love. I just want to love God. I just want to love others. Theology divides. And all this rubbish that is spoken against good, clear, rich theology from the Bible. First of all, theology would be doing because God's word is full of what he says. And if he said it, it's worth finding it out. But here the apostle shows, by the way, that he is praying for these saints, that theology is God's way of transforming us. Which he also says in Romans chapter 12, when he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or like the apostle Peter writes in his epistle, that we are to grow by, and it's a dative of a means there, we could say in, or we could say by, grow by the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So theology is God's way of growing Christians. If you want to grow, if you want to partake of the inheritance, come into the fullness of that which Jesus has earned for you, then the way to it, the way that God has designed for that to come about is through theology. Now, what is the content of theology? What is it that we study when we study the Bible and when we pursue this knowledge for which the apostle is praying? First of all, the content of the theology is his will. His will, we have read here, is to adopt us as his holy heirs, for us to become partakers with the saints, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And if we know that this is his will, then we'll find not just that that's the content of the theology, but the fruit of the theology is that we actually start to become holy. Notice that it produces joy and thanksgiving, and that the joy and the thanksgiving make us able to be patient and long-suffering. So he says that you would be strengthened with might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy giving thanks. Well, that's an interesting combination, because if you are having to exercise patience and long-suffering, are you in the middle of easy times or hard times? Hard times. If you're having to exercise patience and long-suffering, are you in the middle of pleasant times or painful times? Painful times. And what do saints who are growing in the knowledge of God's will from God's word, how do they respond in times that are hard, that require patience and long-suffering? They respond with joy and thanksgiving. And so, since they are thanking God and rejoicing, they are freed not to try to escape their trouble, not to pour themselves into trying to pay back whoever is troubling them, but to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the more you know God, and the more you know the gospel, that He has given us sinners to become His own dear children in Jesus, then the more, even in times that require patience and long suffering, you'll be able to rejoice and give thanks. And you'll be free from your worry in order to walk in good works and to please God, to walk worthy of the Lord and to be fully pleasing to Him and to be fruitful in every good work. So, what is the apostle praying for? What should we pray for ourselves and for other Christians? What should we pursue? To learn what the Bible teaches so that even in the midst of hard and painful times, we can be rejoicing and giving thanks. Because what does the Bible teach? That God has taken sinners to be His own dear children in Jesus Christ. And so when you're in difficult times, if you know from the Bible that God has taken sinners to be His own dear children in Jesus Christ, you can still rejoice, you can still give thanks, and you'll be free to pursue good works, even in conditions like that. In fact, the more you do that, the more you will know Him, and the more you know Him, the more you will be able to rejoice and give thanks and be filled with, bring forth the fruit of good works. And it's a virtuous spiral as the Lord continues and completes what He has done in us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would help us to know You, to know Your Word. We pray, first of all, that if there are any here in whom the work of faith has not been begun, that You would give faith, that You would save, that You would grant to them to know Christ as their own Savior. And for all of us, O God, we pray that You would increase our knowledge. Help us to understand more of Your Word, and help us to understand better the Word of Yours that we know, so that we will see how good You are and how great is Your salvation for us and the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank You for forewarning us about the hardness and the painfulness of the Christian life, and we ask that You would grant to us to cling to You, to cling to Christ in the gospel of Your salvation in Him, so that we will rejoice, so that we will give thanks, so that we will be free to love You with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do this, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.